Let's start with the thumbnail sketch of what you do for people in the federal space.
Okay, so for Brocade, I'm responsible for selling network infrastructure products to the federal government. So what we've been helping the government do is modernize their network infrastructure, which is a big task because it's kind of like a road system.
Mm-hmm.
It was put in place a long time ago, so there's a lot of work that has to be done to make sure that the infrastructure is suited for the IT challenges of tomorrow.
So you're right in the middle of the IT budget situation and conversations that we've been having over the last 12 to 48 months, it seems like, maybe longer than that. I imagine the fact that we're about to get a budget resolution in place that's actually appropriated line by line is probably a pretty big deal for you, isn't it?
It's a huge relief. You know, when we started our fiscal year November 1st, mm-hmm. and I remember being out in California and telling my boss, hey, I have a lot of experience in what I'm doing, and I have no idea on what is about to happen. And so for us, after having dealt with continuing resolution for a long, long time, the uncertainty over the last couple of years has been a challenge for commercial companies who face the government marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
So with the events and the progress recently, we're all feeling much better than where we started the fiscal year.
What is that? Does that mean for your customers or potential customers, too, as far as how you expect to see business turn, not dollar-wise necessarily, but just it feels like almost a thawing of ice.
Yeah, well, and it is. I mean, so all IT companies are big commercial companies to start with who figure out how to face the government and mm-hmm. offer products and services. So when there's a lot of uncertainty in a market like this, commercial companies already have a hard enough time understanding it. So what they naturally do is turn to the stuff that's easier to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of our challenges is to make sure that the government market and its unique requirements stay top of mind. So if you have a gap, you know, business performance isn't as good as you desire,
mm-hmm.
and the company spends time elsewhere, then you have a chance to kind of lose some of that mind share within a company, which is really important if you want to serve this marketplace well.
That's an interesting strategy position that you find yourself in.
It is.
How do you go about making sure, hopefully you were coming out of those kinds of times, but even if the budgets continue to be the way that they are as far as the way Congress puts them out, they're still going to be smaller or flat for the foreseeable future. How does that impact the way that you try to stay top of mind within the company structure that you're talking about?
Well, this is a big journey here, and so this is not about, you know, selling to the federal government or this market space has never been about this quarter's revenue stream.
Yeah.
You know, it's about what, you know, how you do things over time just because of their budget cycles and how they transform themselves and the like. So you have to do a really good job educating, you know, our companies for this market space and the uncertainty. But the other thing that we've done is we've taken a lot of ecosystem partners out to corporate to make so that you know, big large systems integrators or ISVs or channel partners, so that they can get connected to our company and better understand, and our company can better understand their business challenges and the like.
Now that this ice is starting to thaw a little bit, Anthony, what are some of the initiatives or projects that you expect to see agencies picking up on and maybe starting to move the ball on a little bit?
I think there's a whole bunch of things actually that are, so in the commercial business, you know, big things like cloud, security, data center consolidation, bring your own device, social mobility. Those are all, you know, what I kind of call the IT mega trends that are driving commercial research and development investment. And so what we find that the government is trying to do is they're trying to accelerate their own developments in those areas. And what we recommend to the government is, to the extent that they don't get closer to the pace at which, you know, commercial companies are transforming their IT infrastructure in this space, the cost of their legacy infrastructure is getting more expensive,
mm-hmm.
right? And so the challenge that the government has to address is the vast majority of their IT budget today goes to legacy systems, right? There's a failure rate on large IT systems that they don't like today, right? So they have to improve on. And the adoption against these commercial megatrends are happening at a rate that's creating a gap between mm-hmm. where the government is and where commercial industry is going. So what we've been working with our customers on is trying to close that gap to make sure that they're getting on commercial best practices as it relates to these IT megatrends so that their legacy infrastructure doesn't create more risk and too much cost burden for them going forward.
What kind of reception are you getting there? I mean, it's my sense is that agencies would want to move toward what you're talking about, but are struggling resource-wise to be able to do it.
Yeah, and there's a whole conceptually, everybody gets it, mm-hmm. right? The challenge is, the budget uncertainty. There's also a bunch of challenges that are related to FITARA, right? So how much authority do the CIOs have to spend money? There's a whole bunch of things relative to, open standards that in our case, in the area of networking is a real important, statement of future where the government needs to get to. So there's a whole bunch of things that are, even IT acquisition, acquisition reform, which, mm-hmm. I know you've talked about a little bit, that has to happen because the acquisition system that's set up today is an outgrowth of acquiring products and services that, are related to stuff you ship, mm-hmm. Versus kind of infrastructure as a service and service level agreements and the like. So there's a lot of work that has to happen.
Yeah, I hear people from agencies say all the time that it's not easy for me to get the services that I want to get when they're buying, fill in the blank as a service. Compared to the old days, I'm using the air quotes around the words old days, but do you get a sense that that is starting to change and that agencies are trying to figure that out on their own, or is that something that you expect to see come down the pike from a GSA or some other organization?
Yeah, so I think there's evidence, whether it's large GWACs or WACs, some work that GSA is doing, some things that are happening inside of FedRAMP relative to cloud and like, so there's evidence of progress. A big piece of this thing is just awareness that commercial best practices relative to the acquisition of IT have dramatically changed over the last several years. And so one is awareness. And so once you have awareness, then you can kind of create compelling reasons as to kind of why folks should change. But it's going to take time. Mm-hmm. And the worry I have is both as a taxpayer and as a business leader, to the extent that the federal government doesn't get on board faster and close the gap between where they are and where commercial best practices are, the cost of their infrastructure goes up faster than what they've experienced in the mm-hmm. past with more risk. And so that's a really important thing that we're driving out into the marketplace.
But if everybody gets it, as you mentioned earlier, the importance of that transition and closing that gap, then what has to happen? What are the steps by which that gap gets closed? Because it doesn't sound like it's any more a case of will. Yeah. People want to do it.
Yeah, that's fair. And there's even things like, FITARA, right? Mm-hmm. It got pulled out. It didn't go through.
Is that going to help or hurt long run,
well,
you think?
Well, there's debates on that. But, there's parts of FITARA that, our company had testified before a subcommittee hearing. And there's parts about open standards and giving CIOs more accountability and responsibility. And there's a bunch of parts of it that we thought were quite good. And, but the theme and what it was trying to address is the right thing. And that is, there's a lot of CIOs, some of them with authority and some not. The standardization, support for open standards, that's a big challenge in the marketplace. How acquisitions are set up, the training, because in the end, what I've said oftentimes, it is not a matter of does the federal government have enough money. At $80 billion or more a year on information technology, over 5 to 7 years, spend $500 billion. If you go in any CIO in the world and say, I've got $500 billion budgeted to help you modernize your business over the next 5 years, can you do it? The answer would be, yes, I can.
Uh-huh.
The challenge is related to the complexity of government. So the bigger issue to transforming government is around leadership and change management, not the size of the budget and the things. And so people are going to have courage. They're going to have to take risk. They're going to have to operate in uncertain times. But for me, it's about leading change and leadership in general. And I'll say for commercial companies, if commercial companies find themselves in very challenging or turbulent times, we'll go out and hire the best change agents that money can buy. They'll come in and they'll help us transform leadership, strategy, train, and then they'll get the company on a different course and they'll get out of the way, because not everybody is well suited to handle such monumental change initiatives.
We could probably do the whole rest of the hour on change management, Anthony, but I want to ask you when we come back about some of the use some of the buzzwords that we talk about in IT, and I want to get your sense of kind of what the state of the art is on each of those when we come back. Anthony Robbins of Brocade's my guest on Industry Chatter on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Anthony Robbins of Brocade's my guest on Industry Chatter today. And you ticked off a couple of items that you think will be particularly noteworthy in the coming months, years. I want to just review them and have you give me kind of off the top of your head your thoughts about what the state of the art is right now. First one's cloud, and the issue I always wonder about is if we finally coalesced around a uniform definition of what cloud computing means in the federal marketplace.
Yeah, so I'm not sure that we have a uniform definition, and it's the hottest thing that everybody's talking about,
right?
And, you know, having taken over from data center consolidation, which I think is still a huge opportunity for savings in federal government. But as far as cloud, clearly there's been a lot of progress, you know, relative to contracts that are in place, things like FedRAMP, contract awards that have been made, some of the work that, you know, the large systems integrators and Amazon and others have done. But I have always thought that the private cloud or a hybrid cloud would be something that just is going to be the thing that's going to get the most traction the soonest. And in fact, that's what we've seen. And so every agency is working aggressively on cloud initiatives, and that will continue this year.
You mentioned FedRAMP, and I've had some of the FedRAMP folks, Dave McClure, Kathy Conrad, Maria Rode on the program. One of the things that I've talked about with them is the possibility that the FedRAMP concept, the process, could apply to other aspects of purchasing in the federal government, where there becomes an accreditation process and so on and so forth. And I wonder if you could see that model working in any other types of acquisition areas in the future.
Yeah, so I'm not sure about how that model might work relative to FedRAMP being applied to acquisition reform, you know, but I can assure you that acquisition reform has to happen to make sure that it gets aligned to commercial best practices, because everything is moving to, you know, as a service, software, hardware, storage, servers, networking, you know, the whole environment from a commercial perspective is moving to as a service. And today, the federal acquisition process is not ideally set up or situated for that. And there are aspects of FedRAMP that will absolutely, you know, be advancement over where we are today. I just don't know that that would actually be enough.
You mentioned security earlier, and I joked with a friend of mine not too long ago at one of the events that I wish I had the concession to print out stickers for people to stick on their business cards that said, "We do cybersecurity," because everybody seems to want to be in that business. What does that mean for somebody that's been in the business for a little while? How does that affect the way that you do strategy and provide the security service to your customers?
Yeah, so it's a good question. I mean, I think the biggest thing that we see in the marketplace relative to security is that it is the biggest inhibitor to adoption of commercial best practices.
Okay.
Yeah, so the chief security officers are, you know, risk adverse, they're very conservative, and they're very concerned about cloud or infrastructure as a service. And so the selling model today in the development of new solutions has got to include them and get that group of people very comfortable, because as of yet, it has been an inhibitor to, you know, how much data do we want to release to public clouds, and what's the consequence of security breaches, you know, and the like. And so, and that's where I talked earlier. I said, you know, leadership's really important. Courage And perhaps the risk model tomorrow has got to be a little different than kind of where we are today.
That's you're talking about melting the glacier, though, in the federal government trying to reduce risk aversion.
Yeah.
Data center consolidation was another one you mentioned. That's something, obviously, your company's been doing that for a long time. At what point do we reach a tipping point where agencies go, yeah, we're going to get on board with this because we keep seeing the numbers change?
Yeah.
Just the raw numbers of how many data centers are actually out there.
Yeah. And you know, and they're going in the wrong direction.
Right.
Right. And so if you look at commercial best practices for companies like ourselves, you know, we have one data center in San Jose that supports 4,800 employees, and it's on the second floor. It has concrete floors, not raised floors. It's high ceilings, water running through it. It's hotter than you would think, you know, and for a little bit of money, we support a lot of users. So, you know, the government has they've done a pretty good job inventorying what they have. They've done a decent job of understanding how much that costs them, and they've laid out some reasonable goals relative to, you know, plans to close them. And the problem is they're not quite hitting the goals that they stated, and the inventory is going up, mm-hmm. not down. And so you know, I have advocated for a long time that the government's initial plans for data center consolidation were off by materially from what they should do. And if the latest reports are true, that, you know, there's thousands of more data centers that have to be closed on a going forward basis, you know, like thousands more than what the current plans are. And the challenge is twofold. One is the cost of those data centers is preventing money to go into innovation, and the government needs to spend more money on innovation to get themselves better aligned to commercial best practices, right? And so to the extent that we don't free up money to spend on innovation, to get alignment to commercial best practices, the gap between where the federal government is from an IT standpoint and the commercial companies are widens. And to the extent that it gets – then when that happens, cost of existing infrastructure goes up. Risk and uncertainty about that infrastructure goes up because people are developing in the commercial space for solutions around mm-hmm. IT megatrends for tomorrow.
Yeah.
No.
The other one that you mentioned was bring your own device, and I had a very interesting conversation with a couple of IT leaders in government the other day, and they both said that they believe BYOD within 5 years would be almost dead in the federal government. That surprised me. I wonder what you think about that concept and whether you think that's a good or bad idea.
I would shock me, you know, and I think if that happened, that'd be almost evidence that the government is on the wrong track in that particular area, because that's how the world operates. I mean, you know, when we had some kids from Stanford University visit, you know, for a company that I used to work for, and we would get, you know, report, we'd have sessions with them, and one of them, we'd say, well, how do you feel that we operate as a business unit? And they would say, well, you guys sure do a lot of email, you know, because they're thinking desktops and mm-hmm. laptops and the like. And so the environment today is distributed workforce, you know, telework, you know, workers anywhere, applications and data available anywhere on the network at any time on demand. And clearly the commercial marketplace is moving in that way. You know, Wall Street operate, you know, people have mobile devices that connect to financial institutions, you know, here in New York mm-hmm. and around the world. So I would be shocked, you know, that would be one of the things that we don't need to let the government miss that opportunity.
Well, the main reason that each of those leaders took that position was mainly a decision at the workforce level, not at the government level. And that's their conversation revolved around the fact, when I go to my people and I say, you can bring your own device, but here are the parameters under which you have to do so because of the fact that we're the federal government. We have these rules and regulations and these security requirements that are in place, and we have to do the mobile device management, MDM, and so on and so forth. Most of the employees, in their view, are saying, I don't want to bother with that. Just give me whatever you're going to give me, and I'll do that, and I'll have the separate device over here.
Yeah.
So there are – I certainly agree with all the things that you said about what you're seeing in the private sector. It seems to be one of those cases where what the federal government has to do, because it's the federal government, makes us a little bit of a different animal.
Yeah, I think for us in kind of the commercial space, I think we have to provide evidence and certainty to the government, to the government, the end users, to make sure that you know, that that prediction doesn't come true.
Time goes by much faster than I wanted to when I have you in here, Anthony. But I do want to ask you before you go, if this were a drinking game and the cue was commercial best practices, everybody listening would be out of commission by now. Why is that something that you're so passionate about and such an evangelist for?
Well, a couple of reasons is because I have always believed that the federal government has enough money. Even today, even if the budget is flat or shrinks, that there's enough money there to provide all the infrastructure services that are needed for warfighters and citizens alike. I think there's plenty of money. The challenge is that there's too much money going to legacy infrastructure. So, and if we can play a role in getting the government onto commercial best practices, so reducing cost that goes to legacy infrastructure, following commercial best practices will allow them to modernize their IT systems, improve support to warfighters and citizens, and at the same time reduce costs.
What impact do you see commercial best practices making in the foreseeable future? Is the government at a point where they're ready to do that, do you think?
I think so. In our case, the network infrastructure, it's our view is the network infrastructure, like the road system, has been the last part of the IT enterprise to be modernized. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's reports that there's over 15,000 networks. I think it's more than that. So there's too much complexity and cost in the network infrastructure today. And the number one issue relative to cost and incident in networking is people, not product and services. And so we believe that there's an opportunity for the government to save literally billions of dollars in taking a few steps to modernize network infrastructure, following commercial best practices, full and open competition, open standards, heterogeneous supply, you know, multiple suppliers on the network and the like. And we've modeled it and we've studied it, and we think we have an interesting opportunity for the government to invest a little bit and save a lot.
That's where we're going to leave it today. Thank you very much for coming. It's great to see you as always.
Okay, thanks,
Anthony,
for having
thanks
me.
For being on the program. Anthony Robbins is Vice President of Federal at Brocade. You can hear my conversation with him later today at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.